The second scripture reading is from Mark 1, 35 through 2:12. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus heals a paralytic. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to a paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
All right, yeah, we'll be continuing on in our series on the Gospel of Mark. And today we're going to be looking at the idea of the depth of the gospel, just how it infiltrates and changes everything. And we'll continue from last week a little bit what we talked about. Last week we looked at how, you know, life will never be the same because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When that news came, it changed everything. And the good news of Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the world has changed everything. Right away last week, we saw how it changed the lives of four fishermen as they answered the call of Jesus when he asked them to follow him. And it is amazing to consider that the Son of God, he pursues us and calls us. And truly, this is good news. From there, we looked at how Jesus showed confirmation that he is the Son of God as he taught with authority in the synagogue, as he cast out demons and he healed Peter's mother-in-law, as well as all the sick in the town of Capernaum. So truly, this was good news that changed everything in the people of Jesus' day. They urgently pursued this good news because they were in need of Jesus' power in their lives. And our urgent need today for Jesus is no different. Last week, I ended by saying that my prayer for all of you, myself included, is that we would have such a great urgency to be in Jesus' presence. You know, whether we are at church, at home, at work, on the road, wherever we're at, that being in the presence of Jesus and listening to his voice and answering his call with total surrender would be the number one and only desire of our hearts. So as we continue on in Mark's gospel, may you and I have greater urgency to know the Son of God and his power in our lives. Will you pray with me? Father, as we begin this morning and get back into your word, get into the gospel of Mark, may we have a greater urgency to draw near to you, to draw near to your presence and your power in our lives. Father, may your Holy Spirit open up our hearts today just to receive your word, and just may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, amen. Before jumping into the passage that Bill just read today, I want to emphasize just real quick the depth of the good news, the depth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that it entails. We could sit here for a long time and we wouldn't finish discussing this, but I just want to just tap on some of the areas that the good news of Jesus Christ, how it changes everything. You know, today I think sometimes it's very easy just to think about the good news more in terms of the sense of an individual salvation story. You know, Jesus, he came, he lived, he died for my sin, and he rose again that I might have eternal life in him. And the gospel definitely is all of that, absolutely. But also, just to be reminded, the gospel encompasses so much more than that as well. You know, the good news, first of all, it's not just an individual thing, it's for all people, that all might come to salvation in Christ and receive eternal life. The good news, you know, the gospel, the good news is the entirety of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's accounts. Everything that Jesus did is the good news. You know, that Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, he came and brought the kingdom of God near and available to all. You know, so everything that the gospel writers wrote down, they wrote down for us, it's part of the good news of Jesus Christ. John himself said, you know, I could have written down so much more. I could have written down numerous stories and things that there's not enough books in all the world to contain it. But John said also that, you know, everything was written down so that you might know and believe in Jesus. So everything in the gospel accounts, though, is a part of the fullness of the good news of the Son of God coming to earth as a man. And that good news, it transforms every corner of our world. It brings with it the promised hope of redemption of all creation, you know, not just humanity. It will redeem the whole creation itself. And this good news is also the center point of the life of Jesus' church. And the gospel establishes God's people as he calls the church to be the very presence of his kingdom on earth through the power of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is near. I mean, we are the presence of God, the kingdom of God in this world. And the gospel has opened that door for that. You know, the church is to be the vessel that carries this good news to every corner of our world, bringing souls to Christ, but also transforming society morally, socially, and culturally in every way. And we are called to take the gospel to every corner of our world. And because Jesus the Messiah has come, there is a path, of course, for forgiveness. There is a path for healing individually, but there's also a path for healing as a society and a culture, as a whole human race. You know, the gospel alone, the good news, is the only thing that can truly transform and save our world. It is truly the good news. And so because Jesus died and resurrected, he was declared with power to be the Son of God, and this spells as well certain doom for evil, death, and Satan. You know, the gospel came, the good news came to destroy the work of Satan. And death could not hold our Lord, and Satan's time is short because of that. And this is good news. And the good news is also that this sinful world is not our home, but rather Jesus has prepared a place for us in his kingdom. That longing within each of us for so much more, for a kingdom of righteousness and an eternal home, free from sin and sorrow, where we can become all God has called us to be as his children forever and ever. That is good news. You know, so praise God, he has given us hope and good news that this present world and all its suffering is not the end. So how amazing it is, the joy believers have because of the good news. It truly does change everything. And let us not forget that. You know, just as the gospel has come into each of our hearts individually and transformed every inch of our life, so too the gospel has come into all the world and will transform all of creation. You know, the kingdom of God is near, and let us be sure to enter it through repentance and believing the good news and following Christ. I wanted to emphasize that just before we got into the passage, just to realize, you know, the power of these gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that there is so much in them, that we can, you know, there's so much good news contained within it. And it is so much bigger than just our individual salvation story. It is all of that for sure, but it encompasses the salvation of the whole world and even all creation. But that all being said, let us jump now into today's passage and let us see the good news of Jesus in action. And also let us see the urgency of those in the stories as they have this urgent desire to come to Christ. So the first couple of verses here is in Mark 1:35. The first thing I want to take note of is just that we need to be disciplined and focused. And we see that in the life of Christ. You know, the first verse there, it says, "Verily early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And I think that verse is amazing. You know, it shows the importance Jesus put on time alone in prayer with his Father. You could say that there was an urgency on Jesus' part to seek out his Father. You know, he left everything, he left everyone while it was dark, and he went off and prayed. You know, think about, for him, what we looked at last week. He was at Peter's house, he healed his mother-in-law, and then he healed people all evening, and this is the next morning. Think about all the previous day's activities. He would have been tired physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, yet he woke up the next morning early and went off to a place alone to pray, and he knew that the strength he needed for each day, it came from that time in prayer, that time alone with his Father, so he disciplined himself to spend that time in prayer. And as a human, he knew he needed to be free from distractions and temptations and away from everything that would keep him from that focused time in prayer and union with his Father. So he was deliberate about that, and we must be as well. Nothing is more important than our time alone with God. And can we say that of our lives? You know, surely if the Son of God pursued time in prayer with the Father, how much more urgently do you and I need to pursue the Lord in prayer? From there, the disciples then, they finally kind of get moving for the day, and they track down Jesus. You know, so the busyness of the day, you know, eventually catches up with Jesus, and the disciples find him, and they exclaim, you know, everyone is looking for you. Where have you been? You know, the disciples, they have, and others, they really have expectations for him. You know, where have you been? Where were you? Everyone's looking for you. They want to see you. They want to come to you. And yet here, Jesus, he responds by saying, well, you know, he doesn't say, well, take me to those people. And he says, no, let us go somewhere else, you know, to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. You know, that is why I have come. And so what we see that his time in prayer had prepared him for the day ahead. His prayer gave him direction as to his purpose for the day, you know, where he needed to go. His prayer kept him focused on his mission that he was sent for. And his prayer kept him in tune with the Father's will rather than being sidetracked by the expectations of others. So he went to those other villages to proclaim and teach. And that's something that's neat as well, is that his emphasis was on his preaching task ahead. He didn't mention that he needed to go to those places to heal the physically sick. You know, while healing physically is a fruit and confirmation of Jesus' mission and an important part of it, but his primary mission is to proclaim that good news, that the kingdom of God is near, to preach the message that the kingdom of God is near, that the Son of God has come into the world. You know, his mission and kingdom is not of this world, and the focus is on spiritual healing, repentance, and bringing people into right relationship with the Father through belief in Christ, through belief in himself. That is his mission. And so he sets off to that. And so Jesus, he travels on throughout Galilee, continuing to preach and confront and cast out demons. And his time in prayer gave him the strength and power he needed from his Father to go forth in the Spirit's power to preach with authority and conquer evil. So as we think about it, may our strength and power as well come from that focused time in prayer, that we may go forth in the Spirit's power wherever he leads. May we get our strength from those times in prayer. The second portion, I have this title, More Than Physical Healing. And this is the brief few verses where a leper comes up to Jesus. And so Jesus, he's traveling along, and a leper comes up to him, and he begs him on his knees, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And let us take a moment first just to observe this man and his request. First of all, there's an urgency about this. You know, he came to him. You know, lepers weren't usually allowed to even come in the presence of those who were well. He was considered unclean, and if he came to a clean person, they would yell at him. They would maybe even pick up rocks and stone him to get him away from them. So this man has urgency. He's willing to come to Jesus, and he's also begging. He desperately wants to be healed. And so he has this urgency, and he comes to Jesus. And then next, take note of his humbleness and his respect. You know, first of all, he is on his knees, you know, before Jesus. He knows rightly his position before Jesus. He knows rightly who Jesus is. And also, he has respect. He is respectful in that he does not demand healing from Jesus. But he starts off saying, you know, if you are willing. You know, he, of course, urgently wants to be healed, but he humbly respects Jesus' decision to heal him or not. And then next, take note of his faith. You know, while being urgent and humble, this man also has faith and confidence that Jesus can heal him. You know, and he says, you can make me clean. He is confident in Jesus and in what Jesus can do for him. You know, this man knew only Jesus could heal him. And so this man, he placed his faith in Jesus. Jesus is healing so much so that he urgently came to him, humbled himself, and respectfully submitted to his authority. I think for each of us, isn't that how our approach to Jesus should be? We should be urgent. You know, urgently we should be desiring to be in his presence, to come before him. We should be humble. We should have respect. And we should come in total faith and confidence in who he is. You know, so do you and I, do we have that same urgency to get to Jesus and trust implicitly in him for everything? So Jesus, if he is filled, of course, with compassion for this man, and he sends him away to the priest. Jesus, you know, says, you know, be clean, and the leprosy left him, and then Jesus goes on to send this man away. You know, Jesus is compassionate. He sees the hurt and pain of this man, and he is willing and able to heal, and he longs to do this, and he eagerly does so, does it for this man who has come in faith to him. And so Jesus then, he sends him to the priest, and this shows us that this healing was so much more than just physical healing for this man. By going to the priest and offering the appropriate sacrifices, this brought this man back into fellowship and worship. The priest would examine him and would see that the leprosy is gone, and he would restore him into fellowship with all his fellow Israelites. You know, before he was an outcast because of this physical disease, and he was an outcast socially and in every way. But now he can come and go freely and be a part of society again because of what Jesus has done for him. He has his whole life back, and he has been fully restored. You know, truly the good news of Jesus coming, it brought transformation to every aspect of this man's life. This man was healed so much more than physically, and the healing of Christ is always so much deeper than just the physical. And the next story that Mark relates to us, it shows this as well. And that brings us to the last portion of the scripture. And we just see here the depth of the gospel. And I have there, you know, it says always crowds, you know, there's always crowds. It's everywhere Jesus went, the crowds would flock to him. You know, and we see that at the end of chapter 1, you know, after this man, he went and told people about Jesus, the crowds came to him. Next, a few days later, he goes to Capernaum and he enters a house, and there's so many people there that they've crowded out of the house that there's not even room for anyone else to enter the house. The people are crowded around the outside trying to hear, trying to listen and hear from Jesus. And so let us, you know, as well, Jesus, what is he doing? He's in the house, he's preaching. He's preaching the word. And I think it's easy for us to remember all the healings. You know, we were drawn to those things and the great happenings of Christ's life and ministry. But be reminded that he was there in this house preaching the word. That was the primary emphasis, you know, bringing the good news of the kingdom of God through preaching. The healings and casting out of demons, that was only served to confirm that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and to listen to his teaching of the good news. So within this, though, while he is teaching, four men come and they bring a paralytic. And because of the crowds, they decide, well, we're just going to bust through the roof and lower him to Jesus. We're going to break apart the roof and lower him down. And the urgency and faith of these men is tremendous. They were ready to do whatever was necessary to get their friend to Jesus. You know, could they have waited till Jesus was done teaching? Perhaps they could have. But their love for their friend and not wanting him to stay in that condition any longer demanded immediate action. And their faith in Jesus spurred them on to get the paralytic to Jesus as soon as possible. So before moving on with this story, consider in your own life, how urgent are you to carry people to Jesus, to bring them to him and his healing? And also be reminded, bringing people to Jesus is a team effort. You know, we have four men bringing one guy. How can we work together to urgently bring people to Christ? Let us take note of their urgency and their example. Next, Jesus takes note of that. It says that Jesus saw their faith. You know, the faith of these men and the paralytic was obvious to Jesus, and probably it was obvious to many in the crowd too as well. I mean, they see these people busting through the roof. Obviously, they have an urgent desire and faith to get to Jesus. So is our faith in Jesus, is it obvious like that as well? Is it obvious to Jesus? And is it obvious to others around us? In response to their faith, Jesus then, he says a startling and surprising thing. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." At that moment, the crowds, I would think, likely were anticipating something different. They were anticipating Jesus to say, "Get up and walk," or, "You know, you're healed," whatever. They were expecting the physical healing. They were expecting that, and they were kind of probably, you know, tuning their ears in and eyes in just to see what Jesus would do. I think that's what they were expecting. But instead, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And I think this tells us an important truth. You know, while the physical condition of this man is dire and he needs healing, it is not the real problem. This man has a deeper need for spiritual healing, and that is the more urgent healing that he needs. He needs forgiveness. He needs to be made right with God. Whether or not he is healed physically, he still needs a Savior who can forgive his sins and rescue him. And this is the important truth. Jesus, the Son of Man, he has the authority to forgive sins, and this is good news. What a reminder this man is to all of us. You know, while you and I may not be physically paralyzed, all of us are in desperate need of spiritual healing to be made right with God. You and I have been in sin. We've been broken by it. We've been lost in it. As the scripture tells us, we are utterly deprived, objects of wrath, destined for death and destroyed by sin, and unable to do anything about it. However, the gospel, you know, has reached into our lives. The gospel reaches all the way down to the depths of our sinfulness and rescues us. It restores us from the inside out and bringing us total healing and redemption. No longer are we paralyzed, but instead we are free, unencumbered by sin, and able to walk and live freely and live again. So as you and I walk free because of this good news, let us urgently proclaim to others the depth of what Christ has done in our hearts. Just as this great miracle has happened to this man, let us proclaim what Jesus has done in our lives. And that is truly the great miracle that is told in this story. Obviously, Jesus will go on and he will heal him physically. And that is an awesome miracle. Absolutely. Praise God for that. But the greater miracle is that Jesus forgave this man's sin. And that was a much more costly miracle for Jesus himself, as the rest of the gospel tells us. But yes, Jesus, he can make a man walk again. But even more critical, he can forgive a man his sins and bring him into right relationship with God. Let us rejoice and tell others that good news. To finish, just a few points of application just to think about as we head out. If the slide will go, maybe. There it goes. All right. So first, get alone. You know, be free from all distractions and spend time in prayer and in the Word each day. That needs to be a central part of our morning, or the way we start our day, to get free from those distractions and spend time in prayer and in the Word. Second, do you live with an urgency to come to Jesus with everything and humbly seek his healing and power in your life? You're like the leper that came to him. Do we have that urgency to come to Jesus with everything and humbly come before him and seek his power and presence in our life? And then third, do you live with an urgency to bring others to Jesus who are in desperate need of his healing and power to forgive sins? You know, we can see people around us who are in need of coming to Christ. Are we reaching out to them? Are we bringing others with us to bring that person to Christ, just as these four men brought the paralyzed man? Are we working together to do that? So let us be about that, and let us be urgent in bringing others to the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, as we've looked at this passage today, there's a lot of great truths in it, and there's a lot of just great examples of people who were urgent about coming to you. They recognized their great need for healing, and they recognize their great need for salvation. Lord, I just pray that for each of us, we would continue to have an urgent need and desire to be in your presence. Lord, that we would urgently come before you daily in time of prayer, in time of communion with you, recognizing that we need you. Lord, recognizing that we need direction for each day. We need your purpose for each day. We need your focus. Lord, just may those times in prayer be enriched for each of us. Lord, may we experience the fullness of your presence. And that would prepare us to go out and to serve you. Lord, and as we go out, Lord, may we urgently have a desire to bring others to you. Lord, just may you direct us and to those in our path who we need to share the gospel with, who we need to come alongside and carry them. Lord, just direct us to those people in our lives, and just may we have a greater and more urgent desire to share your love with others. Lord, I thank you for what you have done in my life, just how you have saved me and rescued me, and you, the good news of the gospel has transformed my life. I thank you for everyone here, how the gospel has changed their lives. Lord, each of us has a testimony of what you have done. Lord, may we share that testimony with others and bring you glory and bring people to the good news of the gospel. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we close this morning, let us sing a great hymn, Victory in Jesus, and just speaks to the victory that we have in Christ, and just the reminder of the good news of the gospel. So the words will be on the screen. This hymn is not in our blue hymnals, it's in another hymnal, so we have the words up on your screen. So please stand as you're able and sing with us.